Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. It's good to see you here tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, in thinking, man and I moved here 25 years ago, February. Was it the 15th, 14th, 15th? 25 years ago. It's hard to believe we've been here that long. Some of you got really old. I don't know what happened. No. No, but 25 years ago. But, you know, since the time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in June 30th, 1980, God has hooked me and then hooked her and our entire family up with this mandate that's upon this ministry. And, you know, I've never, and this isn't part of my sermon, but I've never, ever long to be another part of the body of Christ. I'm happy with where God's placed me. You understand what I mean by that? Now, thank God for the rest of the body of Christ, because, you know, if we're just one part, we're very limited. Thank God for what everybody's doing in the body of Christ. But I'm very satisfied to be part of this ministry and part of this part of the body of Christ, where God has given us a directive, if you will, a mandate, we call it. There in 1950, when Brother Hagin was told by the Lord that, go teach my people faith. And some people think, you know, that's all we teach on, but how many of you realize, even though that's what we're going to talk about tonight, we don't always teach on the subject of faith, but faith's in every subject we teach. Right? And the reason is because of what I want to begin talking about tonight. Now, I don't expect to get through this tonight, so next opportunity I have, we'll probably pick this up. But I want to begin talking tonight about four aspects of faith. Now, I've preached on this. It hadn't been that long ago here at Rhema Bible Church and a couple other places as I was out ministering. But I just feel like it's important to put ourselves in remembrance of faith, and to realize that this is not just something that we do. It's not something that is a formula. This is our lifestyle. Amen? You know, a lot of times people talk about faith, but you know, if you're griping and complaining about people, you're not living by faith. Oh, I just jumped right. I just might as well punch you right in the nose just to get started with, right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, you know, not that long ago in ministering on this and another time, but I heard this phrase, there's never been a great person of faith that was not, first of all, a great person of love. We can't say we're living by faith if we don't love people. Griping, complaining, criticizing, fault-finding, backbiting, all the other items. Amen. Aspects of faith. All right, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. We get to heaven, we might say, my name's Habakkuk. Habakkuk, I've always heard it, so that's the way I'm going to say it. Now, I'm reading mostly tonight from the King James Bible. Now, I may un-King James it a little bit, just so you know. But here at Habakkuk chapter 2, we're just going to jump to verse 4. And I want to read this statement, especially the second half. But let's read that whole verse. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. How many of you know there's no reason to get prideful? No reason for me to get lifted up. And I think, you know, thank God, no matter where you are in your journey with God, no matter how long you've been born again, but I go back to, I tell students today and tell those that listen, you know, back when I was in Bible school here at Rhema, it was the wild, wild west of the faith movement. I mean, it was just, whoo, my goodness. You know, it's hard to believe that's been 41 years ago, but it has been that long. But it was just a wild time. I mean, there was all kinds of different things out there. Everybody trying to come up with something new that no one had ever heard about the subject of faith before. And almost, you know, you almost, people throw their shoulder out of socket trying to pat themselves on the back for the great revelation they got. He said there, and you know, it was everybody bragging, not everyone, but people bragging on their faith instead of bragging on God. How'd you get that? By my faith. God had nothing to do with it. Amen. So he says that, don't get lifted up. But he said, but the just, that's those right with God. Aren't you glad we're right through the Lord Jesus Christ? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Not my own righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm not standing before God in my own righteousness. I have my relationship with him through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Every time I read that, I hear this. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I mean, we don't have to, I know there's some, I just rejoice with those that have grown up in the church. They've always known God all their life and don't really know a time. They can't really tell you, I got born again that such and such a day. They've just known, they believed, amen, got filled with the Spirit at a young age and just walked with God. What a great testimony to the faithfulness of God. Amen. But for the most part, everybody in here has the same testimony. None righteous, no, not one. Even that person has to believe in Jesus. None righteous. I don't know about you, I was doing a lot of none righteousness. Amen. I mean, you wouldn't consider me a bad person. I remember a high school, at our church, we grew up in our high school Sunday school class leader. He said this. I heard him say it. He told my mother and father in my presence. He said, he had two young sons younger than me. He said, I would just wish nothing better than my sons grow up to be like your son. Which was bad because I was dying and going to hell. Nobody would, that's not, you don't want anybody to grow up and do that, right? But God, hallelujah. But the just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Now, living by faith and having events of faith are two different things. Living is something that we do every day. How many of you breathe every day? If you don't, you don't live, right? But we are to live by faith. Now, it's interesting here in Habakkuk. I did just a little, you know, sometimes it's good to, you know, you can get carried away with the Greek word, the Hebrew word and all that. But yet again, sometimes there is a truth in language, linguistics, that words go through paradigm shifts over time and culture. Amen. Amanda, help me. Mrs. Summers, who was Amanda's 4-H teacher growing up and was part of our church we grew up in for years. I mean, we had our church picnics at her house. They'd make a big old pot of burgoo. Any of you had burgoo? Amen. You know the recipe? There is none. You just throw everything you got in there, okay? And you eat it. Somehow it turns out good, you know. But she was bringing something over to Amanda's house when she was growing up, and there were, what do you call those things? Bagworms, yeah. Bagworms on the evergreen trees. Well, they'll kill the evergreen trees, right? And if I'm not mistaken, she used a term that in her day doesn't mean anything close to what it means today. It's a cue, right? Yeah, she said, well, those are queer. Now, how many of you know that doesn't mean what it meant today? So sometimes you have to look at these words just to kind of see, because we're going to see this same statement, the just shall live by faith, is mentioned three times in the New Testament. It's important. The just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And one of the meanings, as I looked at this, it brings out the idea of not just living by faith, but being revived by faith. And in fact, this word is translated, and I wanted to read what it says here. This is from Brown's driver in Briggs' definition, says it means not just to live, but it means to have life, to live, to sustain life. But then it brings this idea out. It means to be revived and quickened. The just are quickened and revived by faith. And then he said this, to be revived and quickened from what? Sickness, discouragement, faintness, even death. The just. So God's way of us partaking of the life of God in every area of our life, you know, how many of you know it's not just spiritual, but there's life for our physical body. You know, there's the life of God and the power of God available for your mind. Glory to God. You don't have to be tormented in your mind. You'll talk to some people and say, I can't go to sleep. I can't sleep at night because of my mind. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you something. Stop saying that. You can sleep in the name of Jesus. And your mind can be quiet. Yeah. It doesn't like it, but you can quiet your mind. Render that mind unfruitful at times. How? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I realize that one of the greatest, if you ever forget something, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Because you start praying in tongues, your mind reminds you of everything. I mean, everything goes through your mind then. You know, everything you ever thought about should have done. It comes up until you can get it to where it quiets down. But to be revived, I thought that was very interesting. To be revived. It also carries with it the idea, as we're talking about, go over to Romans chapter 1. The idea of the way that a person lives. A code of ethics, if you will. A moral code. Our way of living, our way of life is faith. Now, what is faith? And I think, you know, sometimes we try to overcomplicate it. I like what Pastor Craig says. The Webster's Dictionary says unquestioned belief. Really, unquestioned belief without any evidence, although the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But unquestioning belief. This is not just something we do when we're in trouble. We live this way. That's why I said if you're living by faith, you always believe the best of other people because you're a believer. Unquestioning belief. You know, I found it's a whole lot more of a peaceful life than trying to figure out what somebody's ulterior motive is when they looked at me that way. Amen. Amen. You know, there are people tormented by what they think someone thinks about them. Amen. Now, I didn't say you. I said there's some people. Glory to God. I don't know how. I don't know. I thank God that I think it was partly, you know, how we were raised, but then partly also being involved with team sports and that type of thing, you know. And you know, people don't, I don't know why they do it. A lot of times it's just jealousy and that. But when you have some success, and there's always people they're going to try to pull you down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was successful, but I wasn't, you know, like known by a lot of people, but just locally, people knew who I was, and, you know, had different reports and different things, articles written, interviews done in newspapers, that type of stuff, but just locally, it wasn't anything. But there's always, you know, always people talking, always people saying, now, don't like this, don't like that. Well, he only has it because of this or because of what. And I don't know why. I just learned early on, even before I became a Christian, I don't care what they think. I quit caring. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that has been very beneficial to me in the ministry. Now, it's not that I don't care. You know, it'd be kind of stupid not to care what Pastor Ms. Hagen think about me, right? I mean, I work for them. It's not that. It's not that. But Paul said, you know, he said, he said, I'm not going to judge you. And he said, I don't even judge my calling myself. God's the judge of that. It matters little, he said to me, to be judged by you. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like and don't want to be liked. I like that. Yes. I'm not trying to make enemies. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying living in this life of living by faith. Man, I kind of went off a different direction here. Hey, help me, Lord. I found out if I start going these directions and I confuse myself, I just better read a scripture. None of you preachers ever been there, I know. Liar. No, I mean, sorry. Amen. The living by faith. Living this way. Not being concerned about, I was talking about your mind, you know, taking control of your thoughts. Faith believes the best because love believes the best of everybody. All right, Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, that'd make a good confession right there, wouldn't it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And I stop right there and say, and I'm one of those believers. So the gospel is the power of God unto me. Verse 17, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Again, not just have events of faith. You know, in talking to those who have worked, especially with those who, in trying to help them receive healing, worked in different healing schools, you know, thank God for the manifestation of the power of God and you know, those things when the power of God goes into operation. But then, you know, most Christians, well, it's all by the power of God, you understand, but most Christians receive their needs met by believing God, what the Word says. And we all should get to that place where we're individually believing God's Word for ourselves. Now, thank God, but God meets people where he helps people out. But even, you know, and Brother Hagin, in talking about the anointing, he said the healing power of God works for people. And he said there's two key ingredients, the amount of faith involved and the amount of anointing involved. Amen. So he said the less faith you have, the more of that power you got to have, that anointing, special anointing, healing anointing. Amen. But we can be like that woman with issue of blood. We can just use our faith and get the anointing out that was already resident there in Jesus there in Mark chapter 5. And in Matthew and Luke also give that same account. But the just shall live. And so in talking to these people, they talked about how difficult it is to get someone over into faith who has not practiced living by faith. Amen. You know, I had the opportunity in high school, had it happen in I had it even before that, in what we call middle school here in Oklahoma, in high school, and even at the collegiate level, playing basketball, to have made the last second winning shot in games. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't start there. I started in my garage on a little basket that my dad hung in the garage, and I go out there with a little volleyball, soccer ball, and I shot how many game-winning shots over and over and over and over and over. And in the garage, when it's just me, if I missed it, I got the rebound and put it back in. I made game-winning shots all the time. But I didn't start at the collegiate level against Center College from Danville, Kentucky, there in Jacksonville, Illinois, and make a last-second shot at the end of the game to beat them. I didn't start there. I started in that garage. You're going to have to start living by faith where you are right now. The just, you are the righteous God. Live by faith. Start taking God at his word now. the just shall live. Galatians 3, please. I want to look at every one of these in the New Testament where it says this. How many of you know, this is the inspired word of God, right? So God's not into wasting words. He has a purpose for everything he says. And everything that he inspired to be written down has a purpose for us. And the fact that you can find that same phrase, almost exact, all three in the New Testament are, but the Old Testament says, live by his faith, says, but live by faith. It points out the importance that this is from God, in other words, how he views it to us. This is vitally important. That's why it's so important that we understand how to operate, and because we don't just operate in, we live by faith. It's our lifestyle. Amen? Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, how many of you know that it was by grace through faith that we got saved, right? Got born again. But how are we living? Now, he says, it's obvious that by keeping the law, you're not justified. He's talking to Christians here. But he said, the just shall be continue to live by faith. Now, I don't have time tonight to talk about the aspect of grace, but don't take grace away from the faith. The best thing I can ever think about is the fruit tree that grows the fruit. You didn't grow the fruit. The tree did. But you can take your hand and reach up and pluck that fruit and eat it. That's faith. Grace, or in other words, that provides ahead of time. The fruit tree provided the fruit. You reach up, take hold of it, eat it. That's faith. God has provided everything we have need of. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's given us, and Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's faith that reaches up and takes hold of it. Amen. We're to live that way. Live that way. Now, some people hear talking about living by faith and they think, well, it's by grace, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for it to fall, you know. Just wait for, you know, the apple that falls off the tree and hits your head is probably not good eating. It's better to pick it. Any of you ever tried to eat one of those ones that's been on the ground for a while? You don't do it very often. But then again, you don't want to pick it before it's ripe either. So that's a whole nother, this is not a botany lesson, but anyway. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, please. To live this way. Living by faith. Verse 38. Says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. There's something about faith that's always pressing forward, not drawing back. And I think sometimes that we get caught in our faith, drawing back sometimes, and it's because we've heard other people make statements that aren't really faith. He goes, you know, there, and we'll get to some things, you know, later on in this, but you know, faith, how many of you know that now faith is? Faith is always right now. When do you believe you receive? When you pray. Not later, when you pray. When do you believe that God's going to give you what you're asking? When you pray. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he, when's he going to reward you? He's going to reward you now. So faith never speaks of anything in future tense terms. That's hope. Now get your hope up. You got get a lot of hope. Hope paints a picture of what God, what you can have. Don't ever tell them, don't get your hopes up. No, get your hopes up. But at some point, you got to turn hope into faith. And you got to say, well, I see that I could have that. You know what? I'm going to take it. I have it now. I think that's what happened with Enoch. He walked with God and was not. I think he just got walked out so far. He just said, I'm not going back. Let's just keep going. Amen. Faith is now. But, you know, sometimes we get caught and say, and listen to me, I understand, and thank God, God works with us where we are. But how many of you know we need to grow? We need to grow. And so people say, well, I believe that when I wake up, I'll be well. Well, that's future. Why not be well right now? You're in a level of faith, but faith is right now. I'm healed now, whether I feel like it or not. You hear people say they're in faith. They say, I'm waiting on the manifestation. Well, you're not in faith. Faith is right now. You have to declare you have it now before you're ever going to see it. That's how faith operates. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's right now. So notice that living by faith keeps me from drawing back. I find it interesting, you know, Moses is standing there, Red Sea on one side, Pharaoh's army on the other. You know, he talked about being between a rock and a hard place. And nobody is for him. Everybody's against him. And God, he tells the people, stand still and see the salvation of God. And God says, what are you standing here for? Hold up your rod and walk through the sea on dry ground. See, God told him to do something. Do something. And when he did what God told him to, the deliverance was there. And they walked through on dry ground, didn't they? Amen. I had a college professor. I went to a liberal arts university. Forgive me. Liberal arts college. And they're liberal in their belief of the Bible. The head of our religious department was a Unitarian. So he spent every class I had with him explaining why what the Bible said wasn't true. That it was just a picture, or it was just a nice literary story. He talked about Moses and the burning bush. He said, right here on our campus, we have several of those planted right here on our campus. They're known as a burning bush. They're planted right there. And I thought to myself, I hadn't been saved. You see, I got saved between my freshman and sophomore year in college. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, but I'd heard the story all my life. I said, yeah, but not one of them has ever asked me to take my shoes off because the place I was standing was holy ground. None of them are on fire. No voices coming out of them. Explaining everything away, you know, that's not really what it means. No, the just shall live by faith. And it's more than just exist. It literally carries the idea of thriving. What kind of life did Jesus come that we might have? Life and more abundantly, right? You look that up, and I love the actual meaning of that word abundant is super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. That's more than just existing. It means more than just surviving. He didn't say the just shall survive by faith. No, the just shall abound by faith. Glory to God. Receiving now what God. I remember what that professor, I'm thinking back, he said, now, the Israelites at the time they were at the Dead Sea, if in fact this is a true story, they must have been at the area where that water was only ankle deep. And you know, in that part of the world, strong winds would blow, and sometimes it would drive the water away, and you could walk across, you know, on the dry land. And so that's what happened. And in my newly born-again spirit and my unrenewed brain, I'm thinking, but didn't those horses and all those soldiers drown in that water? That's a greater miracle yet. Ankle-deep water, drowned horses and soldiers who lived and swam in the Nile River all the time. Amen. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So there's those four references. I think he's wanting to get something across to us. He's telling us, no, it's not just having faith accidents. It's not just having events of faith. It's living by faith. It's living them by faith. You know, sometimes I heard him say it in person, and if you read in his books, Brother Hagin is talking about not having a headache all these times, but he would talk about he passed up a lot of opportunities. You don't get yourself to the place of being able to pass up the opportunities when symptoms come your way unless you're living that way by faith all the time. Amen. So if I want, I had a dear friend that I worked with when I first started working here, and he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he said, you know, he said, if we do what the Bible says, we'll get what the Bible says. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We do what? We walk by faith. Well, he's talking about living by faith. For if we walk by faith. How many of you know walking is putting one foot in front of the other? And I'm sorry, and soon you'll be walking out the door. Sorry. My mind. It's a beautiful mind. Amen. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Other translations do say, we live by faith. We're living by faith. I like the Good News Bible. It says, for our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. The International Standard says, for we live by faith. I like the Message Bible. It's what we trust in but don't see yet that keeps us going. Amen. Hallelujah. We live, the Passion says, we live by faith. The New Living, we live by believing. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why the psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Notice he said he keeps walking. He keeps walking. If you're in the valley right now in your life, just keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said he'd flatten the mountains. He'd make the way in the wilderness straight. He'll do whatever it takes to get you through. Just keep walking through the valley. What does he say? Just keep living by faith. Every day. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the first aspect about faith, is the just live by faith. Glory to God. Let's all stand up together. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Father. Nothing new tonight. Maybe for some might be, but nothing new from your word. Your word is truth to us at all times. Father, I thank you that if you said we are to live by faith, that each and every child of God has the ability to live by faith. So I thank you, Father, this is not just for a special few. This is not just for those who have a special anointing, but the life of faith is available to each and every child of God. Each and every one of us can walk and live by faith, be energized by it. We can be revived by it. Thank you, Father God, that the faith causes all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ to come into our possession. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is coming down right now. If you need prayer for anything tonight, they're going to pray with you according to the word of God. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men to the men, if you would, please. Why do they pray according to the word of God? Because that's where the answer is. Amen? The answer is in God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We good? Wednesday night hour of power. Be back. Don't forget prayer group tomorrow for International Rhema Schools tomorrow at 11:30 in room 201. Amen. And we'll have Revive this week also, I believe, on Wednesday. Is that the case? It's the first Wednesday of the month, and that's when that will be. All right. God bless you. We'll see you back on Wednesday evening.